This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Alrighty, hour number two, what's happening? Tiki and Tierney, this is the Tiki and Tierney Show. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network on this Thursday. Was good. Coming from our studios here in the Rocket Mortgage Studio, whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there for home loan solutions that fit your life. Rocket can. Well, we're just getting going. The baseball lockout, obviously the huge theme of hour number one. Brent Musburger dishing on the John Gruden situation. I'll hit that coming up a little later. Notre Dame's got their guy, John Heyman, third hour on the lockout. Troy Aikman on NFL Super Teams. Squeeze in some NBA stuff. Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, Instagram as well. All right. Now, listen, selfishly, I am pumped up for tomorrow night, man. Now, you hear me talk to Tiki a lot. My affiliation with St. John's going back to the early 2000s. It's crazy. First year I ever called the St. John's game, Mike Jarvis was still the head coach. I've gotten to know their somewhat new coach now pretty well. I do a TV show with them, the Red Storm Report, on the MSG Network, which airs once a week every season beginning in January. The Johnnies are 5-1. This man's credentials are really unquestioned. Everywhere he's been, he's been a winner. And tomorrow night's going to be great. That place is going to be popping. It's the new arena where the Islanders play. It's called UBS Arena. And St. John's is taking on number 8 Kansas, all right? The first basketball game there. Isles have played there, but it's going to be the first basketball game. And I'm joined by Mike Anderson now. Coach, what's happening, buddy? How you been, dude? You okay?
Hey, the Big East versus the Big 12.
That's right.
Okay, we're super excited. I'm going to tell you what, our guys are excited. And tell you what, our students are super, super excited. So, New York, Johnny's Nation, let's show up and let's show out. Let's get some energy going in that building.
No, I love it, man. Now, listen, Mike, I follow this stuff because I obviously follow the team. As a national show, let me just get everybody up to speed a little bit. Most basketball, if you're a college basketball fan, you certainly know the name Julian Ciampetti, as well as Pasha Alexander. And your position from day one with any player has always been, hey, listen, go do the draft process, feel it out, do what's best for you and your family. As Julian began to, and he's back obviously as a junior, and he's putting up over 20 points a game because he's terrific. As he was starting the process, did you think he'd be back this year? Take us back 6 months. What did you anticipate?
I thought he would be back. I just thought that Julian he's a thorough thinker. Mm. And he's not trying to be on that fast track. He wants to have staying power. If he's going to play in the league, he wants to have staying power, and that's all we talked about. It's not just getting to the league, man. It's time out making a career out of it. And I think, you know, the things that we talked to him about before he even went through this process, or he got confirmed when he went and worked out with the NBA teams. And so it just, to me, it's just, I'm happy to see the process work and see him come back and continue his development. That's been the biggest thing for me, is watching him just develop. And even as we talk about this year, I mean, I got in this morning at 8 o'clock to my office. Mm-hmm. This guy's already worked out. He's already got a sweat going
really?
On.
Really?
And he's doing it every morning. And the beauty of it I love was he had a couple other guys with him that had done the same thing. So not only is he getting himself ready, he's showing leadership as well.
Mm-hmm. So when he talked to the teams, what did they say they wanted to see him focus on to get better at?
I think defensively, become a better defender. Obviously, continue to expand his game, and we're seeing him, you know, playing on the perimeter. But at the same time, still have the mindset you can go get us 10 rebounds and get some of those tough rebounds. make some of those tough plays. His ball handling, his assists, totals have gone up tremendously already. And just, again, it's just the continued process. And he's showing the grit that you got to have to play and be a big-time player. You got to remember now, he's got a target on him.
That's right.
And so, and he's responding to that, I think, the right way. And he's trusting his team as he goes through this.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, you know, if you're watching on TV, we just had the stats up there before for Julian. He's putting up over 21 points a game. But having done the games this year, I've actually seen him miss some shots that I think he kind of makes in his sleep here. So is it, and I anticipate, Mike, eventually those shots will start dropping, hopefully tomorrow night. Do you think it's a byproduct of him pressing a little bit to prove that he's first-round worthy, or defenses focusing more on him, or both?
I think it's a combination of that, but you got to remember now, let me ask you this here. If you're not shooting the ball, can you impact your team? That's what you say to yourself. And I think we've seen him doing that in different ways now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So we're talking to Mike Anderson, head coach of St. John's, 5-1 on the season, playing Kansas, Billy Self squad tomorrow. Former St. John's coach Norm Roberts is on that staff. And, you know, as I introduced you, and Mike, we've had you on the show a few times here, but just, again, for the national audience, it's always a different introduction because I want everybody to get a sense of, you know, where you've been if they don't really know where St. John's is. Because let's face it, while you've had some improvement since you took over, St. John's the last 20 years has lacked the profile that it had when I was a kid, which made me fall in love with the program. And one thing I noticed, Mike, and I think I've told you this, I've certainly told the new AD, Mike Craig, this, since you came in, and, you know, I was there with Jarvis, I was obviously there with Norm, I love Mullen, he's a friend, he was my idol growing up, loved Lavin. But no St. John's coach ever told me, on the record, as you've said while we're sitting there doing a show, the goal is to win a championship, man. Like, not a single St. John's coach has ever said that. You've said that. Now that you see the new president and the new athletic director, why do you believe you can do eventually what no other St. John's coach has really even come close to doing since Jarvis's last year? But it's been a long time, Mike.
I just think it's all about the vision and the commitment. I think that's the biggest thing part of it. And then, you know, where I've come from, you know, I've had a chance to be on a team that won a national championship, many, many Final Fours. I go to UAB in my second year in Sweet 16. When I go to Missouri in my third year in the Elite Eight. And so I know what's in front of me, and that is my goal. And so we're assembling, you know, teams that can get us there. And you look at the success that has taken place here at St. John's. And obviously, if you can do it here in New York, you can do it anywhere. So I'm super excited. There's a reason why I'm here. And mm-hmm. that's why I really feel that in my heart. And I want my staff to come with the same mindset. And I got to have the players to have the same mindset. And I think the people here, they're thirsting for some really good things to take place. And I just feel it's just me. It's just who I am.
Yeah. No, you're a winner, man. I mean, the resume, you've never had a losing record, ever. You're one of, what, four coaches, along with Izzo and Mark Few and what other that I'm forgetting right now? I mean, for those who don't know, Mike Anderson, one of only four coaches to not have a losing season. And I know that Louie's been a great voice for you. I mean, Louie Cardoseca, God, I'm actually making the sign of the cross. I love the guy. It's like he's like New York's godfather, grandfather, godfather. We love him. Louie's going to be 97 next month, but you guys still communicate, and he's still an asset for you, right? You really lean on Louie.
Oh, I talk to Coach probably once every week or every 2 weeks. And as a matter of fact, I think probably about a week ago, I got a chance to meet his lovely wife. They came down, and she wanted to see the statue.
Wow.
And so it was kind of awesome to go in Conesecca Arena and get a chance to see Conesecca statue there, the Coach Conesecca, and get a chance to visit with him and his wife.
It looks amazing, by the way. You know, when I saw it, I wasn't there for the ceremony, but then the first game that I did, I mean, when you walk in, it changed the whole aura. It's long overdue, but I know that it was something that the school wanted to do. But I think we both know that Mike Craig was a real impetus behind it. And talk about Mike a little bit. I have a really good relationship. Mike is the AD. For those who don't know, he came from Duke, and he was there for about 30 years with Coach K. Mike Craig is a big vision AD, isn't he, right, Coach?
Oh, without a doubt. And like I said, I think all the vision kind of lines up in terms of what we want to do. I mean, you got to remember, he was you know, Coach Krzyzewski's right-hand man through all the championships and all the building that program. And so he shares the same vision that I do, and he's working morning, noon, and night as well as I am. And so I'm his guy, and with that being said, I always tell them I want to make them look good. So we're busting our tails, and I just want our fans to come out and enjoy this team. Last year, didn't have the luxury of coming to the arena, mm-hmm. but you could see. You could see with the influx of some new talent and the way our guys played, and they got better. With this team here this year, will be the same way. They're going to get better as the guys understand their roles and get their identities. And to me, it represents New York, man. Blue collar, in your face, 94 feet. Let's play basketball.
Oh, man. For those who don't know your style, I mean – you just get up and down the court, man. It is, you know, I don't want to say everybody's got the green light from downtown. I'm sure there's a few kids you like tap the brakes. You're not shooting from 20 feet, but very few fast breaks, alley-oops, dunks. How excited are you to get into this new building tomorrow night?
Well, we're looking forward to it. Like I say, it's obviously it's an opportunity for us to do something, you know, to play in an arena for a historic time, first time there. And we want to, you know, want our fans to be in there and provide some energy and just show the whole nation, you know, what takes place here in New York, in New York's team.
So, Mike, let me ask you this, because, you know, I interact with a lot of St. John's fans. And one thing, and listen, by the way, and I'll admit it as well, as I'm sure you would, the last couple of games against mid-majors, you guys haven't been sharp for 40 minutes. There's been spurts, you know, leads dissipate. You've won. You guys are 5-1, and now the heavier competition, with all due respect, starts to come. But what? How do you find that as a challenge? Because let's face it, the schedule comes out, and the team knew you had Indiana 2 weeks ago. You got Kansas tomorrow night, and a bunch of teams you're supposed to quote unquote beat. Is it a challenge to get, you know, 10, 11, 12 young men to remain focused for 40 minutes against a team that, in their minds, they probably think can't beat them?
Well, I've always championed that every game's a big game, and no matter who you play. Because, you know, everybody's got players, and obviously, you know, you can't just look at the name of the jersey, because, you know, in any given night, and we can just look at what took place last night with some teams. I mean, BYU's go to the Utah Valley.
Yeah.
You never ever take it for granted. And guys, you know, kids, they follow the social network. They listen to all the people, how they talk and all that. And my deal is you got to show up and play each and every night. Anybody can beat anybody. Everybody has players, and with this transfer portal and all that's going on. So, but our job as coaches is to make sure our guys are focused in on the next game. Mm-hmm. That's all I want. And obviously, we're not playing our best basketball right now, but I think in time it will. Mm-hmm. But we got to remember now, also, when you got 9 new players, and I look at Kansas roster, Kansas has 8 Lettermen coming back, 4 starters. We have 9 new players.
I know you do.
Never done a St. John's jersey.
Mm-hmm.
So we will become that team, and these games here only get us ready for the Big East Conference, which is a great, great conference. So, but we want to represent the conference in a great, great fashion, and I always say that our fans are worth 8 to 10 points. We need all the points we can get, so we need all the fans to come out tomorrow and make the UBS Center a place where, you know, the opponents don't want to play at.
Yeah, no, I agree. I can't wait to slap on the headsets and call this game. So, Mike, I'm going to wrap it up with you in a minute, but I want to get to one other player. I'd be remiss if I didn't at least get a little something on Posh Alexander. We spent some good time on Julian Champagny, and that's obviously Mike Anderson, head coach of St. John's, playing Kansas tomorrow night. Both teams are 5-1, UBS Arena, as we said. Posh, to me, now, Beverly, you obviously know Patrick very well. Beverly's...
Yes.
Posh is thicker. Like, he looks almost like a fullback, but he moves like a tailback. Like, what is his – I almost don't want to say what's his professional profile, because he's only a sophomore in college. But when you see Posh in a year or two or three, what do you see?
I just see a guy that's been like a coach on the floor, being a leader, being a guy that can – dictate the game with his defense. He's like a lightning rod. I mean, just think, he's like a one-man press, you know, for our basketball team. And I think the beauty of it is, with all the success he had last year, I think he's come back with the right mindset. Now he understands, you know, his role will change from the standpoint of being a distributor. I mean, he's one of the I believe he would be one of the top assist guys in our league when it's all said and done. And he's been putting that on display. But he's important in what we do. He has a toughness that you can't teach heart. And what it does, it just rivets through our team. It just trickles all the way through our basketball team. So he's very, very important in what we do.
Hey, by the way, you going to start busting out the suits again? I know you got a sweet collection of gear. You got to start wearing some suits again here, Coach. What are you doing?
All right, man. I'll be giving all my secrets out now.
It's only a secret if you don't wear it. You know what I mean? Hey, Mike, good stuff. I'll see you tomorrow night. I can't wait to see the arena, and I can't wait to call this game. Thanks, buddy.
Appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
You got it. There he is, Mike Anderson, head coach of St. John's. And, you know, the thing about Pop, a lot of you know Champagne Posh, and a lot of you know Posh Alexander as well. How about this for a stat? And then we'll get a break. We'll get into this Brent Musburger situation or comment. Not situation. What he said about Gruden. So, in the history of the Big East, and the Big East goes back to 1979, there have been, before last year, three freshmen to win the Defensive Player of the Year award. You ready for the three names? One is Patrick Ewing. One is Alonzo Mourning. One is Allen Iverson. And the other was Posh Alexander a year ago. St. John's could be really good this year. I thought they'd be a little more well-oiled or a little bit more fully in sync in some of these games here. But they're 5-1, and they've got upside. And listen, as I've said on social, as I've said to Coach and their AD, Mike, who I really like, and if they're not an NCAA tournament team, something went awry. This team is supposed to be playing and not just get there and lose. Like, this is the best St. John's team in a long time. In a long time. And it's going to be a fun season. I'm not saying they're beating Kansas. I'm not saying they can't. But in terms of totality, you know, St. John's should be good this year. They are good. All right. We'll get to the Brent Musburger situation coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, Sunday, it's an NFL on CBS doubleheader with early action featuring Justin Herbert leading the Chargers against the Bengals, the Eagles on the road against the Jets. Mike, do you realize that we have never beaten the Eagles in our entire existence? I think we're 0-10. I know we've never beaten them. The Jets have never beaten the Philadelphia Eagles. It's time, man, is what I'm saying. It's coming, Stu Getz. Watch me lose 31-10. Jalen Hurts runs for 4 touchdowns. Anyway, the Eagles and the Jets on CBS coming up this week. And then one of the harder-hitting rivalries in football is renewed when the Ravens go to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers. And it all begins at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, the NFL Today. It's NFL doubleheader action this Sunday here on CBS. 0-11. What'd I say, 0-10? 0-11. Imagine, like, this isn't, you know, the Jaguars or the Panthers who were born, I think it was the mid-90s, whatever it was. Like, the Titans, the Jets. Jets have been around forever. Imagine never having beaten a team while they're in the NFC. I know. 0-11? That is despicable. I think we'll win. What do you think? You think we'll win, Samter?
No.
He's pissing me off today, Stu Getz.
No, listen, you know, if Mike White was under center, maybe different story.
You annoyed me yesterday when you said that you didn't watch the Knicks and the Nets game because you don't want to watch the Knicks. And I said, well, have you heard of James Harden and Kevin Durant? Are they worth watching? And you said you'll watch them against a real team. That was his response, Stu Getz. And now he says we're going to lose to
well,
the
Eagles. Well, listen, I am a Jets fan. Yeah, I just, as a Jets fan of football, I don't think the Jets are going to beat the Eagles.
Yeah, I'm not so sure we are either, but didn't love the tone.
Yeah. I'm the eternal pessimist as a Jets fan.
Now, you know
because I'm a Yankee fan, so I'm so used to winning, and then I'm a Jets fan, so I'm used to losing, so my inner core is always battling.
Well, let's be fair. So used to winning. What have we won since 2009? We won nothing.
Yeah, but I mean, I even worked for the Yankees during three
Get
of those.
Get your peanuts here, well, Santa.
Four of those titles.
What's that?
I was there for four of the titles.
Santa was slinging the peanuts back in the day. True story.
I didn't really do peanuts.
I thought you said you did the peanuts.
A couple times. I mostly did soda because I was the worst vendor there.
Get soda here, soda here.
Nobody bought sodas.
Nobody. Why would you? Let me hear the soda voice. Come on, give me a soda.
Soda here. Ice cold soda here.
That's your soda here.
Get your ice cold soda here. Hot dogs, hot dogs. Get your ice cold hot dogs. Wait, that's wrong.
Hey, by the way, Mike, if you don't watch, you're going to be selling that little furry monkey. Like, you know that weird-looking Yankee monkey that for some reason my son now that I think has in his room that he's gotten too old to even, it's like kind of like buried. You're going to be selling one of those weird things that they sell at games that has nothing to do with the team in which they're selling at. You know what I mean? Like, there's... I don't mean the rally monkey for the Angels back in the day. Like, it's got, like, the Velcro arms, like this weird-looking Yankee monkey. I don't know where the hell that thing came from. I don't know. Anyway, Brent Musburger had this to say about the NFL and how they handled the John Gruden situation.
Whoever took you out, John, that was a paid assassin, okay? That was one of the best hit jobs that I've ever been around. Okay, they didn't go to their media goombas. They didn't leak this to Adam Schefter, or one of those guys who breaks stories. They first went to the Wall Street Journal, and when Gruden was still coaching after that, then they dumped the rest of it on the New York Times. That was a professional hit job, but I want to tell everybody that I'm not completely sure it was somebody in the NFL. There was a second lawsuit involved, okay, between the owner, Snyder of Washington, and a former general manager. And that means that a lot of outside people had access to those emails.
Okay, that's quite levying quite the claim there. And that is Brent Musburger on the JT. Is that JT the Brick? Is it? I love JT. JT's a good dude. The JT and Looney podcast. Actually, Mike, my second radio job was in Las Vegas at a now long defunct network. Pharrell was there. Rome was there. The Fabulous Sports Babe. Who else was there that you guys might know? That's Steve Caulfield, who I used to live with. Great guy out in Vegas. I said Rome. And JT Brick was doing nights there. And that's how long I've known JT. Great guy. Love JT the Brick. The JT and Looney podcast. That's right. JT moved out to Vegas. Anyway, so Brent Musburger is not wrong. The way he characterizes it is quite salacious, but I don't know that it's an incorrect characterization. That was a hit job. I mean, that was a direct takeout with purpose of John Gruden. I don't know how anybody really refutes that.
I think it's interesting because Musburger is the Raiders play-by-play announcer on the radio.
Yeah, and it's not.
Because we,
it's not
we,
even that. He doesn't sound the same.
Sure, but he still works for the team, and the team is technically, and he's representing the NFL. Like Mark Davis was clearly upset during the owners' meetings, but he kind of took the high road. He kind of took the, well, you know, we're not really happy. We wish this or that, but we understand. And he kind of took the high road. He expressed frustration, but he showed that, you know, all right, whatever, we're still in this together. This is basically an NFL employee, a team employee of the Raiders, calling out the NFL, saying that they intentionally leaked and threw Gruden under the bus.
Mm-hmm.
We've all said it, but we're not employees of the NFL. We don't work for the NFL.
No,
we don't have a connection directly with them.
That's not a bad point. I don't think Brent Musburger gives a damn. How old is Brent now? 80? How old is Brent? Out of curiosity. I think he might be older than that. 81?
He's 82.
He's 82. God bless him. Brent Musburger's 82. Do you think that he cares what the NFL thinks about him? Or even more, even if it came to this, like what the NFL would do to him? I'll put quote, dude, he doesn't care. Even if they bounced him, which they don't have the authority to do, but even if they did, like if they were somehow able to convince Mark Davis to fire him, whatever, which is not happening, he'll be like, all right, I'll just go on my network there and talk gambling all day. He doesn't care.
Can he do the game this weekend?
Yeah.
After what he just said about the NFL.
100% he could do the game.
Okay.
Why can't he do the game?
Listen, we saw just, 2 weeks ago, Texas Tech, I think it was Texas Tech.
It was definitely Texas Tech.
Right? Their announcers were suspended by the Big 12 for ripping the officials.
But that story
was a little bit different.
Well, that story, and that was an interesting story, and I watched that whole three-minute clip. I think the Big Elite had it, actually. And what they did, which is what got them in hot water, and I don't disagree with this, they actually read the officials' names on air, every lines judge, like every ref that was involved, basically insinuating if you want to go and, I don't want to say rough these guys up, but basically make their lives hell on social media or worse, go for it. Like, that was reckless. That was cavalier.
Right, but anybody with a computer can look up the game and find out who the officials are.
I understand that, but the way it was, did you actually listen to the 3+ minutes?
Yeah, so you were actually out that day. We did that in the blast. We had a conversation about it. We played a little cut of it.
Yeah.
And it was...
What, did you guys have an issue with them being suspended?
No, neither did I. Not necessarily that I had an issue with it. I was surprised that they got suspended because they...
That wasn't.
They kind of called out the commissioner, they called out the refs. But what I'm saying is, if you're the NFL, how do you let Brent Musburger, who literally just accused you of sabotaging one of your own member teams, how do you let him go out there and ever represent your organization ever again? Like,
if you're the NFL.
Yes.
Well, first of all, because the Raiders, the NFL are not paying Brent Musburger. The Raiders are.
Right, but the Raiders are representative of the NFL.
I understand that, but what did he violate? What did he violate?
Well, it's the same thing with
what
these.
What rule did he violate?
It's not
what are you firing him
it's
for?
It's not necessarily that he violated a rule.
Okay.
But if the Big 12's not paying these guys either, Texas Tech was paying
their announcers. Correct. Like, St. John's pays me, Texas Tech pays them.
And so the teams that work under a conference or work within a league are representative, and they actually have a specific contractual obligation to that
understood
team.
I know exactly how it works, but the broadcasters are also, like I am, beholden to a certain standard, certain things in our contract you can't do,
right? And so
now, Brent Musburger, I don't think it's in the contract that you can accuse the league of.
I don't know if it's in these guys at Texas Tech's contract that they can't rip the refs. I mean, it doesn't say that you can't rip the refs.
Well,
I mean, a lot of people rip the refs.
It's not worded that way, Mike, but it's about representation of the conference,
which is probably
and
the same thing that Brent Musburger has in his contract.
I don't know that to be true. And by the way, maybe you're ultimately right here. Maybe they do flex and the NFL bounces them. There's no way that's going to happen. I mean, if he doesn't do the game this weekend, I would be stunned. Stunned. So... Listen, that is what it is. It's small potatoes. It's the voice of the Raiders who said something that everybody agrees with. And I wanted to play that for you because I thought it was interesting. What happened with Antonio Brown? So to continue the story from a month ago, what just happened before, Mike? This is crazy.
So as we reported a few weeks back, there was an accusation from Antonio Brown's former chef, who he owed money to, that he helped AB. Yes, he helped AB and his girlfriend secure fake vaccine cards. The chef then came out.
Fake vaccine cards here.
The chef then came out and also included that AB had helped other players on the Bucks. So the NFL did an investigation.
So instead of being a drug dealer, he's a fake vaccination card dealer.
Correct. Now, and AB's agent even came out saying that he, was properly vaccinated. He has the proper the card.
Uh-huh.
Well, the NFL either doesn't buy it or they did an investigation and they have suspended Antonio Brown.
For?
And teammate safety Mike Edwards.
Oh, sounds a lot
not
like
Mike
not,
Evans.
Not
Mike Edwards,
not,
the safety on the defensive side.
Mike Evans. Uh-huh.
And they've suspended him 3 games for misrepresenting their COVID vaccination status.
3 games?
And that's pretty hardcore.
Yeah, wow. There's two things to... There's two things to unpack. Number one, fundamentally, do we believe they should have been suspended? And the answer is absolutely yes. And I can't see how anybody disagrees with that. If you do, I can't help you. The subset to that would be this. Do we believe that the length is commensurate with the crime? And my answer would be no. I think they should be suspended for the rest of the season. That is below board, man.
Well,
talk about being brazen and being reckless.
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
And Justin, also a lawyer who represents Antonio Brown, Sean Burstyn, just tweeted out this or sent out a statement. Mr. Brown is vaccinated and continues to support the vaccine.
Mr. Brown seems
for
some
any
way to
player
say.
For whom it is appropriate. The NFL made its determination, and instead of going through a drawn out and distracting process of appealing and challenging the outcome, Mr. Brown wrapped this up promptly and will make the most of this time by
treating
his ankle.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. So he's basically telling, he's basically saying, he's inferring strongly, my guy's innocent, but for the process, for to avoid being a distraction, he's basically taken on the chin for something he didn't do. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And he has been nursing an ankle injury, so maybe he would have missed a time or two.
I know that too.
But at the end of the day, listen, I mean,
I would have suspended him for the season, Mike. Yeah. You can't mess around.
Because
we
talked about this with Aaron Rodgers. Wow. At least Aaron Rodgers, the team was aware.
Uh-huh.
The NFL likely was aware.
Well, we don't know. That's an extrapolation, but maybe. I'm not
saying
definitely
not. But the NFL,
not.
I mean, anything the team knows, the NFL therefore knows. It's just, you know, just from medical documentation. So if the team knew, the NFL probably
I'm not knows. Even, I don't mean to keep jumping. I don't know if I fully believe that.
Yes.
But anyway, keep going.
So we ripped Aaron Rodgers for what we said was misleading his own teammates and putting his teammates in peril. But the
and
report,
opponents, by the way.
Right. Well, not necessarily.
Wait, you don't remember how he was hugging Kyler Murray without a mask?
No, that's true. So putting opponents and his teammates. Now, apparently his teammates all were aware. His coaching staff was all aware.
Yeah.
So the putting people in jeopardy outside of maybe some media, but again, you know, they're 10 feet away. They're all wearing masks. So, like, was he really putting the media in jeopardy?
Yeah.
This is different. This, he was faking it. He was misrepresenting himself to the team, to his teammates, to everybody.
Yeah.
If Aaron Rodgers had to deal with what he went through, $300,000 fine or $14,000 for him, $300,000.
Yeah, $300,000 for the for
three
the
games
team.
For AB, I don't think is enough.
I would suspend him for the rest of the season. I would send a swift message right now, you're gone, to dissuade anybody else from trying to be that dumb.
And if it was any other
reckless
player, maybe three games works. This
doesn't,
is Antonio Brown.
I disagree with you there. It doesn't matter. The player's status,
sure,
petulant, criminal incidents, that even though, you know, they were dropped, whatever, civil suits. No, whether you're a choir boy or Antonio Brown, to me, that doesn't matter. That's irrelevant. The severity, and I know you get COVID, for the most part, we're all going to be fine. Now, there's some people who are no longer with us that couldn't say that, unfortunately. But we know the stats. We know the science. We know the numbers, all right? But to be that flippant, to be that reckless, that cavalier, is disgraceful, and he should not play another snap this season. Now he's going to. I'm just telling you, if I was running the show, suspended the rest of the season.
Especially considering, sorry to cut you off, but especially considering Bruce Arians, his head coach, has had multiple battles with cancer, and he himself is a high-risk person.
He's immune-compromised. Well, I don't know if he currently is, but yes, I'm sure, by the way, and Bruce is a great friend of the show. Bruce is somebody that everybody knows. What about the anonymous figures in the building that nobody knows? They matter the same as Bruce Arians. So he's a clown. That's all he is. Antonio Brown's a clown. There's really nothing else to say. Update for Mac. We'll come back and we'll get to Notre Dame. They found their guy quickly, and it's an interesting hire after Ack right now. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Bam, 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 bam. Portion of the show today brought to you by Ferguson. Ferguson's proud to be a part of what trade pros do. Their pro pickup service allows you to buy online and pick up in store, making business with Ferguson the easiest part of your hard day's work. Learn more at Ferguson.com. All right, Teak is out here on CBS Sports Radio, Teak and Tierney Show. Twitter at Teak and Tierney, Instagram, same deal. John Haven coming up next hour, Odyssey Sports, MLB Network Insider. That's how I started the show. The lockout, obviously, is a big story. So, Mike, we were talking during the break here. Let's get to Notre Dame a little bit. Now, Teague and I discussed Urban Meyer yesterday and how, you know, I was, for the first time, because if you remember, when it was shaky early, not just the results, but then obviously the incident when he got caught with the girl, whatever, not his wife in Ohio, obviously didn't travel back with the team after the Thursday night Bengals game, blah, blah, blah. He was getting crucified, and rightfully so. And I questioned his willingness to stick through it. Even reading owner Shad Khan's comments, just how transparent in terms of the breach of trust. It was just worded in a way where I'm like, "Woof, that is." He didn't fire him, but that's pretty close to saying, "You know, it's you're gone soon, buddy." I was not then convinced Urban Meyer was going to stick around for year two in Jacksonville. And then we start to surmise that, well, these jobs, oh, wow, USC's over. Oh, Eddie O's not coming back this year. Oh, okay. Oh, wow, Brian Kelly now, with a, he's leaving. And once these jobs filled up, I said, well, the only logical landing spot in terms of profile would be Notre Dame if they elect to go that route. And we talked about this yesterday. And I said, I just didn't think that they would. I didn't think monetarily they would go for number one. I didn't think they were going to come up with a 12 or 13 or more per year AAV check to lure him from Jacksonville. So I didn't see him leaving, all right? So that was another name off the Notre Dame board. And then I started to say, well, where do they really go? And I'm thinking Luke Fickle, Cincinnati, makes a lot of sense. There were a few others, not many, but there were a couple of names you heard thrown out there. And then we find out today quite swiftly, which I think is good for Notre Dame, that they're actually going to retain their DC, Marcus Freeman. He has been elevated from the coordinator spot to the head coach spot. And I guess he gave a real, some of it, which was caught on video, really the complete opposite of Brian Kelly rolling in and sticking around for 4 minutes and 12 seconds, peacing out. That was caught on video as well. And he had to know that it was going to. And, you know, he moves on, and Freeman obviously struck a totally different chord, which you have to do. And, you know, the administration at Notre Dame, they apparently listened to the room. They apparently listened to the players' wants and needs. Young men, conviction, they believe in Freeman. And I've been around college sports long enough to know, as a player and as a broadcaster, that stuff matters. That stuff really matters. Like, my senior year in college, my manager got fired. And that was tough, as, you know, coming in as a senior with a new, a new regime. It was tough. I mean, it worked out. I played, but it just knew. It was like you couldn't wait to get to the next chapter, which, not coincidentally, was a much better chapter than when I was there. They went to the NCAA tournament literally the year after I left. So, because they got better players. The point being, it's not fun for anybody when somebody that you believe in and you trust and that brought you there goes. But it's the reality of big-time sports. I will applaud Notre Dame while simultaneously offering a flare, a warning flare. And the applause would be very obviously stated. They listened to the conviction in the room. They reacted to the conviction in the room. And if that conviction fell on deaf ears, well, especially in the year 2021, you know what's happening. 30 kids in the transfer portal, if the right coach isn't hired. And Notre Dame could very quickly go from being a very consistent top six, top seven program like they've been for a while to kind of languishing where they were with Bob Davies, Willingham, Charlie Weiss, who was 3-9 one year. So the sensitivity to what the players want and need is important and cannot be ignored in modern college athletics. That's paramount. So I give him praise for doing that. But in the same vein here, guys, while I'm never going to get on the air and say Freeman can't do the job, if you're a top player right now, you're going to give a little pause going to play for somebody who is now a first-year head coach at Notre Dame. You're going to. You know, if you've committed and it's just verbal, you might bounce. Because Brian Kelly, number one, might try to bring you to LSU if you're that highly regarded. Other coach, Lincoln Riley, might try to bring you to USC. So it's a very delicate dance to navigate because you have to be sensitive to the young modern athlete, but you also know that there is an inherent risk that players will not, I don't mean players in the room, but high school kids will not feel as comfortable placing their future in the hands of a first-time coach. He was the DC at Cincinnati for a couple of years. He wasn't the head coach at Cincinnati. I think he's got a great trajectory. I think he's got great upside. But there's risk here. And that's something Notre Dame had to navigate. I'm not sure that they got it right. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt, but it's far from a home run. Nobody can sit here and say, Freeman's a home run. Nobody's seen him coach. Mike? Nobody's seen him coach. You seem to like this more than I do.
No, I'm the opposite. I hate it. I think it's awful. I think it's terrible.
Oh, you're going to go that far?
Yeah, terrible. Well, I mean, listen, I don't know the guy. I don't know his acumen.
He sounds personal over there, Stu Getz, right?
I don't know anything about Marcus Freeman. I don't know him as a coach. I don't know his role with
his
the players.
Style,
I know he's a
demeanor.
Good recruiter, and I don't know. But you're Notre Dame, right?
Uh-huh.
When Notre Dame is looking for a head coach, just like USC, just like LSU in Florida, you get the best.
Well, hold on a second. Brian Kelly came from Cincinnati. Did you get the best? You got the best mid-major coach.
But at the time, A, he had been a head coach, and he had been a very successful
head coach. I understand that, but he came from Cincinnati.
Yes, and at the time also, Notre Dame was a little bit down. Right, so the name...
No, they were. That's fair.
While the cachet is always there because it's Notre Dame.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It wasn't quite there. Now, Brian Kelly has brought them into the national playoff conversation every single year that he's been there over the past decade.
And literally gotten there twice when they played Clemson a couple of years
Swarby
back in Alabama.
The other day, he basically said, like, this is the best position we've ever been in. And I don't doubt that because usually when you fire or looking for a new head coach, especially at Notre Dame, it's because you're down and the guy isn't getting the job done. People don't leave Notre Dame when the program is up to go somewhere else because Notre Dame is the destination, one of the top three or four destinations in the country.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a great position for Notre Dame. So they had the pick of the litter. Now, obviously, I'm sure Urban Meyer said no. Maybe Luke Fickle said no.
By the way, I don't even think that they asked Urban Meyer. That's my opinion. I don't know if it's because of the Catholic background. I don't even know that they really reached out to
him. You might
be
right. And maybe they reached out to Fickle. He said no. Maybe they reached out to other people and all their top names said no. So they said, okay, maybe let's just go with this guy. But you're telling me at Notre Dame, you're going to go with a first-time head coach who has never, forget about a mid-major head coach, a guy who has never been a head coach. And had he been with the program maybe for 10 years, he knows that program inside and out. He's been there for a year.
Mm-hmm. I know.
And as much as I love the sentimentality of asking players who they want their coach to be.
Yep.
Half of these guys aren't going to be there next year.
No, that's fair.
The other half are, maybe never going to. You bring in new recruits every couple years. I like the sentimentality of it. I don't like the idea of hiring a head coach because that's who the players want.
Who would you have brought in?
I mean, all right.
Who would you have first offered the job to? Because you can't control who says yes.
Luke Fickle is the number one guy.
You wouldn't have even asked Lincoln Riley? You wouldn't have asked Urban Meyer? You wouldn't have asked...
Once Lincoln Riley was at USC, then his name's off the board.
I'm saying before that.
But Riley left before Brian Kelly left, so he wasn't even an option for
him. But Brian Kelly was offered was talking to USC before Lincoln Riley took the job.
Yeah, so maybe...
So you...
Maybe backdoor channels I could have done that, yes. But
you better know
that. But we also know that Lincoln Riley left for USC before Brian Kelly officially left for LSU.
But you still have to have your intel, and you have to kind of have back-channel conversations.
Sure.
So, grandmaster plan, you would have hired whom? If everybody that was available, or theoretically available, would say yes, you would hire whom?
I probably would have gone Luke Fickle. I would have pushed hard for Urban Meyer.
Mm-hmm.
I understand.
You would have, huh?
I understand the point of Catholic.
I got you.
I would have got Luke Fickle. Even a name, again, I'm not saying this is the name, but at least he's had success in college and you know that he can recruit.
Oh.
And you know he can do that area.
Oh.
Tom Herman, right? He was at Ohio State for a very long time.
I would not have hired Tom Herman at Notre Dame. The hell did he? What did he do to deserve the job, Tom Herman?
Dave Clawson could be an option. He's done.
I like Dave Clawson, and it's a similar academic profile.
There's a variety of guys I would have looked at.
Not Herman, though. I'm with you on Fickle. That's who I actually thought was probably going to get the job.
Not a first-time head coach who's been with your program for 1 year.
No, that's fair. All right, Santa bringing the heat, getting that demo tape ready. That a boy. Get that to Spike. Hour three coming up.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.